Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we are privileged to be broadcasting today from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama. We're looking out on Mobile Bay. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here on the battleship. Great day to come out and enjoy it. And we got an outstanding lineup coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
Yes, we certainly do. We'd like to thank the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park.
It's those big words.
I know it, man. It's over four letters. Golly, come on now. You're pushing me. Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade. Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, we want to thank all our sponsors. And you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And of course, SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Of course, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. Coming up later this hour on SBN, we will talk with the executive director of the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. She'll get us up to speed on all the happenings here at the park, along with a recap of 2020. Also, we could use your help out in the Scuttlebutt Network in reuniting a Marine's 1950 yearbook. Now, I know Tom that, you know, he was just a babe back then.
Oh, I was cutting grass at Murphy then, though. I wasn't in school there.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have been on some work detail.
No, yeah, well, yeah, I was work detail. I was on the lawnmower department there. You know, I had to pull the goat around, let him eat the grass.
Oh, there you go. But a 1950 yearbook from Murphy High School. We'd like to get that back with his family. We've got more information on that coming up later on the show. And we posted some of that information to our Facebook page as well, if you want to check that out. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Pardon Me. It's coming up in the second segment of today's adventure into broadcasting infamy. So you don't want to miss it. Stay tuned for the. I think, you know, Mark has been telling everybody they need to listen to this one. It's got everything but about Beethoven in it. But hey, first, it's always an honor to be joined by Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to SBN. Thank you for all that you and the crew do for our veterans, military, and our first responders, and just the gastrointestinal palates of the folks in the Bay.
I couldn't believe it. My palms are starting to sweat.
Oh my God! Well, yeah,
I was getting nervous.
Well, yeah, you're now a part of broadcasting infamy, if you don't know that. But, hey, you know, we talked about being out here on the Bay, and, of course, Ed's is out on the Bay, and you got great things going on at Ed's now, great food. Tell us a little bit about, you got Mardi Gras coming up and Super Bowl. It's a great time to eat.
It's just a party. I mean, we're sitting here on this battleship, and I'm looking down there, and I smell gumbo coming from Ed's.
Oh, yeah.
I smell it. Or is that old boy out there eating the gumbo that I brought?
That would be it.
He's broke into the box.
Oh, yeah. He was rooting around out there.
Ed's is just such a cool spot. I mean, when you go sit in there eating breakfast in the morning, oh, my God, that's sick as far as what we're serving there. I mean, he's the Justin Wilson of our breakfast crowd. You know, the cornmeal pancakes and the Pete's famous beignets, which he's bagging it up and fixing to sell it in grocery stores and everywhere. The famous beignets. The Prince of Panini is selling the beignets. Coming to a store near you very soon and at one of our locations. But, you know, super exciting weekend. Past weekend was awesome. A lot of people in town. Open air seating, inside, outside, great weather. 31-foot new bar. Bushwhacker crazy. Adult milkshakes. And then every day's a party with the gumbo. And the big screen TV's outside. Unbelievable hidden place to come watch a Super Bowl game that could be dominated by the greatest of all time.
Yes.
Now, you left that one open, didn't you?
The real
coach. And I am an Andy Reid fan because he's an old Philly coach, and I love his whole squad. But it's going to be very hard to go against the star-studded group there. If you look at their payroll as far as the Tampa Bay Bucks, as far as Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, their resumes say win.
It looks like they are peaking kind of at the right, you know, the part of the season. They were a little rough putting all the pieces and parts together earlier in the season, but it looks like they
no risk it, no biscuit. That's where they're at, and they
leave it to a chef.
You know, it's going
to
be cool that they're doing that, and we'd love for people to come in, get a bowl of gumbo, hang outside, enjoy the sun, enjoy the open air, enjoy the safe spacing.
Beverages.
And get an adult milkshake.
There you go.
Well, yeah, you got, I mean, modified safe spacing, but you've got that outside decking area.
It's
beautiful.
It's unbelievable.
You can sit out, you can look at the bay, and you can watch, you can cheer on your team, whichever that team might be.
There's two things that we know is going to be good. The coleslaw is still free.
Uh-oh.
And so are the crackers.
Okay.
So we're going to start you off there.
Oh, wait, so it's more than two.
That's the bait.
I got you.
And then everything else is just, you know, hospitality, taking really good, making friends with people through food and hospitality. And I think that group there, they look at it every day and go, how can we be better at what we do? How can we execute better? I don't care if it's getting a sweet tea two or three times, pre-bussing the tables. You know, you can sit at home and eat your sandwich and watch TV, or you can go out and decide to be waited on. So it's our job to give you unbelievable service and great food.
Well, yeah, the great food is absolutely there. But, you know, you mentioned the atmosphere, the environment that you've got there, Ed's. And, you know, Tom, I guess over the last month, we've been over there three or four times with the various the remotes that we've
done. We had the remotes and all over there, but it was awesome.
I thought you were telling people that was your office. Somebody called and said, hey, this is Tom's office?
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all my secretaries running around.
I was
going to
say, I knew you were going to say ladies.
No, you had to talk about the ladies.
but you know, you've had some tremendous crowds for it being, I would say, winter, you know, which normally you think.
Abnormally. And you know, one thing last month when Jamie and Casey did that bushwhacker with the Christmas tree on it.
Ooh,
I mean, think about selling 1,000 bushwhackers in a week in the middle of the wintertime.
Was Tom there?
He was there for at least six of them.
I quit.
But all of our brands, Panini Pete's, the iconic brand over in Fairhope, we got open air seating. Cheryl and the girls over there and the guys,
they do an
unbelievable job. Awesome Sunset Point, go there, ring the bell at sunset. We just keep doing what we do there, and just unbelievable mixology with Jesse behind the bar and the chefs in the kitchen, the snapper throats, which has become an iconic recipe item, and then Squid Ink, you know, before the pandemic, we went to a banquet downtown, and the mayor said that there was a big presentation and that we changed the food game down there. And that's eclectic food needs from fried deviled boiled, you know, fried eggs where we lightly fry them. And they got a little spice to them to squid on a shingle and putting mixology together there. It's just it's been a fun ride, all these four restaurants and different brands. It keeps it fresh. The hospitality family, Panini Pete's family, Double P is unbelievable. They're our work family. We love those guys, and you know, but we're always pushing, and sometimes you have to translate pushing and friendship as far as work as being, you know, sometimes you got to say thank you.
Oh, right. There you go. Hey, well, Nick, we want to thank you for being here with us.
I'm always a pleasure to be next to this guy.
And I'm in trouble.
Then with you, with all that brain matter you have, Jesus, and him, I'm like I'm a sandwich.
Well, again, Nick, we appreciate you being here with us, and thank you for everything that you do for our veterans, you and Pete.
Make sure you get some gumbo out there. Don't let him eat all of it.
Absolutely. Can't get away with not eating that. But, hey, Nick, from Ed Seafood Shed, we appreciate you being with us. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Pardon Me when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Up on their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand.
Tom Claxton.
They say that those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. Of course, for those who have never taught history or whose history lessons were built on the bastardization of something akin to the 1619 Project, reinforced by communist, progressive, anti-American zealots posing as teachers and professors, well, unfortunately for them, current events are the only history that they know. They have no perspective through which to examine what occurs around them and no ability to place things into context. Compound this with the likelihood that many of those products of the government-run education system are quite literally fed through their, quote, news from left-leaning social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. And what you have is a recipe for...
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Into the cult of communist progressivism. For example, climate change, which the weak-handed Biden administration mouthpieces have claimed is the single greatest threat to humankind.
Get away! Get away!
Of course, this is after we are told that the
Hong Kong Pooey, number one super guy,
still rampaging, and that the variant from South Africa may thwart the finaglings of Fauci, and that you could be blown up at any moment by the white supremacist domestic terrorists who just made bank against the big boy hedge funds through GameStop. But if you're lucky enough to survive all that, then you can look forward to a slow boil courtesy of Cal Farts and John Kerry's private jet. Now for the snowflake blibbertard. That sounds pretty damn serious. However, for those of us a bit long in the tooth, the threat is not quite as dramatic, considering that we survived the coming ice age predicted by Time magazine and the, quote, scientists in the 1970s in the dire prediction of Al Gore, who declared
the planet has a fever
and that the earth would be
the ring of fire, the ring of fire
by the year 2000. Of course, the majority of the snowflakes out there were not born when these supposed consensus predictions of Armageddon were made, and left-leaning media continues to suppress dissident opinions. So there is little left to do but believe that if you wait long enough, you will have oceanfront property in the hills of Tennessee.
Ha ha.
don't spontaneously combust for not using a paper straw. This limited perspective is, of course, not limited to changes in the weather, as evidenced in the reporting of the events at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th. The government-run media has incessantly framed it as an insurrection rather than a carefully planned incursion by yet-to-be-named actors that we're now learning it was. And as I mentioned in my tirade burning down the House, the journos were all too quick to label the events as the worst attack on a United States federal building since the War of 1812. While the events were shocking, they were hardly the most egregious in over a century, as an even cursory glance at the less than conservative-leaning website Wikipedia would show you. Indeed, on March 1, 1954, four Puerto Rican Americans fired guns in the House of Representatives, injuring five congressmen. The injured congressmen survived, and the four shooters received prison sentences. The man from... President Jimmy Carter committed one of the sentences and granted clemency to the other three. He probably built them houses later, also. Then came the age of Aquarius and the summer of love without the spaghetti potlucks, from which sprang forth a new generation of anti-American government, communist-loving insurgents. On March 1, 1971, a bomb exploded in the Capitol building. While the explosion did not injure anyone, it caused some $300,000 in damage. The Weather Underground claimed to be behind the bombing and said it was in protest of the U.S.-supported bombing of Laos. Their May 1972 bombing of the Pentagon was, quote, in retaliation for the U.S. bombing raid in Hanoi, and its January 1975 bombing of the State Department was in response to the escalation in Vietnam. The group was a radical leftist militant terrorist Marxist organization whose express political goal was to create a revolutionary party to overthrow America. One of its founders was a woman named Bernadine Dorn, who earned her way on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list for several years. There, she remained as a fugitive until coming out of hiding in 1980, when she pled guilty to misdemeanor charges of aggravated battery and bail jumping. Un-effing believable. She went on to become a law professor at Northwestern University, and along with her husband, the terrorist Bill Ayers, helping to launch the political career of fellow traveler Barack Hussein Obama. As late as 2010, she insisted that, quote, listen to this, quote, the real terrorist is the American government, state terrorism unleashed against the world. But it was people on the right that were racist, armed, hostile, and unspeakable. Sounds like a charming woman. 13 years later, on November the 7th, 1983, a bomb tore through the second floor of the Senate wing of the Capitol. The bombing by a splinter group from the Weather Underground called M-19 detonated in the Capitol's north wing, blasting a 15-foot gash in a wall and causing $1 million in damage. One of the group's leaders, Susan Rosenberg, was charged with a role in the bombing. In addition to those at the U.S. National War College and the New York Patrol Men's Benevolent Association, but the charges were later dropped as part of a plea arranged to help other members of her group. Arrested for explosive possession in November 1984, after 2 years on the lam, she was convicted by a jury in March 1985 and given a 58-year sentence, which was conveniently commuted by the cigar aficionado, Bill Clinton, on his last day in office.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I wonder if she wore a blue dress to her sentencing. Anyway, get this. Rosenberg now serves on the board of directors for a group that does fundraising for the Marxist anti-American group Black Lives Matter. Surely she is one you want to take home to mama as well. So there you have it, snowflakes. A little perspective on historic attacks on and in the U.S. Capitol building. The actual list of attacks by the above-mentioned groups, their subsidiaries, and their sycophants spans more pages than the recent executive order dictates from the sleeper-in-chief. But I'll leave that to you to look up. And while you may have enjoyed this explosive journey down memory lane, my actual purpose here was to highlight the desperate treatment that the media has given recent pardons to U.S. service members by President Donald Trump versus those given to the terrorists mentioned above. The Puerto Rican shooters were hailed as freedom fighters, while Ayers, Dorn, and Rosenberg served little time and have been elevated to nothing less than Marxist cult heroes, allowed to preach their anti-American bile on college campuses to your kids. However, the pardons are commutations by President Trump of heroes such as First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, Major Matthew Goldstein, and First Lieutenant Michael Behana have been used as a ruse by this current administration to spark an IG investigation into DOD of the Special Forces for, quote, war crimes violations. Based on the facts and the history that you now know, the IG would be better served looking not into improprieties in the Special Forces community, but into the political motivations of the Obama-era JAG Corps, their handlers in the State Department, and their political persecution of our heroic service members. But that would offend the political Soviet style. Otherwise, the military purges of party leader Obama will be nothing compared to what we will witness as Constitution-loving American patriots are displaced from service by the communist handlers of Joe Biden. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. It's down, powder dry.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberry.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Pull up, sir!
Pull up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, yeah!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com and broadcast. Tom, you all right?
Yeah, I think. I don't know, man. I'm still trying to get over that tirade.
Well, hey, if you want to pick up and listen to that tirade again or to any of our aired programs, our regularly aired programs are up via podcast on most of the major podcasting sites, and you can check out Tom's tirade on castbox.net. But we're proud to be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama on a beautiful winter day. Actually, it's warming up a good bit, and it's pretty nice out here. Really a lovely day to be able to tour the park and all of the memorabilia that is here at the battleship. And on the other side of the break, we're going to have the executive director of the battleship USS Alabama, General Janet Cobb. We'll talk with her and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And again, we are honored to be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama on a beautiful winter spring day of sorts. But we got a great half hour coming up for you. But we want to thank some of the sponsors to help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And it is always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by the only general with her own battleship, the executive director of the USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. General, if any push-ups are due, Sean should be doing them out on the fantail, right?
Well, you know, I was late for his show, so I probably should have given him a few push-ups there. I told Tom a while ago, last night I was off the treadmill. I said, I wonder if I can still do a sit-up. And I did one, and I quit. I said, I did it. I still got it.
You still got it, baby. Yeah.
Just drop that other 70 or 80.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I figured. If you had made Sean do the push-ups, it would have been like one.
One. Yeah, I would have probably gone down to the front leaning rest position and stayed and started crying or something like that. So,
scream in his face.
Yeah. I have nothing to say about push-ups.
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, again, it's great to be here at the battleship, and you got a great group of events that are coming up this weekend here at the battleship with the Living History Crew.
We do, Cal. The bi-monthly Living History Crew drill will be back. We're excited to do the North Atlantic campaign this weekend. They'll have a narration that will talk about the Alabama's service in the North Atlantic in early 1943. She operated with the British Home Fleet, was based up at Scapa Flow, where the British fleet was, off the Orkney Islands in Scotland. And the British Home Fleet with Alabama, South Dakota, her sister ship, and other watercraft ships protected the Soviet fleet up in that area. She went to the South Pacific late in 43 and continued her combat cruise and tours and battles down there. But it's not a well-known story, but people come and look at our photographs and they go, these Alabama guys are chipping ice and shaking snow off those big bloomers that surround the 16-inch guns, and they go, where was that?
Well, and like you said, it's when you think of the Navy in World War II, you kind of shift and your thoughts go to the Pacific.
You're right. We think about our great merchant marine fleet, our wonderful, brave merchant mariners, and the convoys, the Atlantic convoys, and their bravery, and how many of them were killed and those ships sunk protecting convoys across the Atlantic. But we did have combat operations for the Navy. And a lot of naval aviation, of course, out of England and into Europe as the war progressed. But the Alabama was there.
Right. And it's a wonderful part of that, being able to tell the story of the various artifacts that you have here.
Absolutely. We invite people to come a little early. Sean always says, what's the best time to come? You want to be on deck definitely by 12:30, quarter to 1 o'clock when the deck drills start. We're in anticipation of having aircraft coming in. And when you stand on that deck and you see those volunteer pilots that fly out of Irvington come in, deck high, screaming, you know, and our retrofitted guns with propane firing at them, it's exciting.
Make me run for cover.
There, yeah. Well, drop down.
Drop down.
That's right.
You would have been in the brig anyway, Tom.
That's right.
Okay, that's right.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
the
right.
General would have had me in the brig.
So. We have the big brig down there. Then we've got the small brig that's just off the galley where, you know, you throw the fighters and the drunks in there. And we've got a picture
that's
of your
mine.
Face on the mannequin Marine.
Tom has a reserve plaque.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You know, the Living History crews that come in, they're all volunteers.
They are.
So do they modify what they are doing because it's the Atlantic service versus the Pacific?
It depends on the weather. I don't know if we'll have any cold weather. I'm not sure how many. A lot of our volunteers for Living History Crew are outfitted out of uniforms that we actually have here. The narration will talk about the North Atlantic, if they have any overcoats and things like that. We do have some of that. So a lot of them will be, and a lot of them, of course, because they are reenactors, purchase a lot of their own equipment. So you'll see some of that type heavy weather gear.
So was the Navy pea coat that everybody knows, was that a standard issue for the crew of the Alabama?
Now, you know, I'm from the Army, but I have one of those pea coats, actually. Most of the time, I think they were worn with the blues that the enlisted soldiers, sailors would have worn, or the whites, but probably not with the combat uniform. But I will be stand corrected by some sailor I know.
Oh, well,
and
I
would
just,
like
well,
to
you,
know.
You,
it's
you
a meant, great
well,
question.
You mentioned the cold weather gear and just in what you have on.
That's the way we find out when we make mistakes when somebody corrects us.
Hey, there you go. I answer the phone all day long.
But you get those guys off of the fantail.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, so you're kicking off 2021. Goodness, we're already into February. We're already a month into
it. Incredible.
But 2020 was an interesting year, I guess, for everybody. But, you know, the battleship is still here. It's still going. And tell us a little bit about how 2020 wrapped up for you.
You know, in 2019, we had 451,601 visitors come through the gate. And last year, we were closed completely by a governor's order for 6 weeks. And then two partially. We were able to open the gift shop and the grounds. We reopened fully on the 23rd of May last year. We had 188,652 visitors come. We were down an incredible amount of income, and, of course, as you see, how that drop is for 451,000. But, you know, still they came, still they come. We're paying our bills. You know, we're doing restoration. You know, it's just the operation just continues because of the goodness of the American people and our visitors from foreign countries been able to travel a lot fewer. In 2019, we had visitors from over 120 countries. Last year, just over 45. But still, they came.
Right, right.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Yeah. Yes. I know one of the things that we've heard in the past is you get a lot of traffic just because of where the location.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You're right there with the Bayway I-10 coming through, and folks, you know, they go, oh, look at that. We're going to stop off and see. Were more of your visitors more targeted, or was it still a lot of, I guess you could say, foot traffic almost?
A lot of it is foot traffic, and I won't say the majority, but we keep a deck log when you come in the tour entrance, and you can check a block as to why you're here. A lot of it's, you know, I came to see a relative, or I've been here before. I'm a veteran. Billboards, and one of the categories is I saw the ship from the highway. Of course,
right.
There's always that little one in the background screaming, Mommy, Daddy, want to go see the big gray boat?
Yeah, right.
So they got to pull off, you know, or suffer the consequences. But a lot of it's just people passing by. And this year, more than any other year, people have come up to me on the deck or down below and said, I always meant to stop. I've been traveling by here for X years, X decades, and today was the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and just because sort of the nature of the artifacts and the boat and the drum, it kind of lends itself to that social distancing. You can do that here.
We've not had a problem with it. We put our signage up last year. People have been so good. They've worn their masks. They have kept in their group. Socially distanced. We've just not had a problem with it.
That is awesome.
Real quick, the Korean War Memorial. I know you've got an update on that.
I was on the phone last Monday week, with the owner of the company that won the bid to do the repairs. He was quarantined at home with COVID and his ops manager. They'll be down pretty soon to remove the granite that was destroyed, and then they'll come back and bring the other that's just about engraved and ready to put out. COVID has just about destroyed their business. They also order a lot of things from Italy, where the master stone cutters are.
Right.
That, and we had to be in the queue behind other projects. So they're in the fall. Their crews that do the monument repair were just hard hit with COVID. So it's just pushed everything back for everyone.
It has, but it's great to know that project is moving forward.
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't be that much longer.
No,
it
should not.
We'll be able to enjoy that memorial as well.
Yes, we'll be glad to see that back up.
Outstanding. Well, General, thank you again for having us.
Thanks, Cal,
for joining us. And real quick, website, Facebook, where
USSAlabama.com, and we have a Facebook page and also an Instagram account.
Oh, boy. That's all we need is Tom on an Instagram account.
No. My fingers don't work that way.
Yeah, you broke them trying to tweet, right?
And I missed all those classes.
That's
on purpose.
Right.
On purpose.
Good to see you. Marines, come back.
Thank you, General.
Thank you, General. Hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to try to reunite a Marine's yearbook with his family. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters.
To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, kind of had a fun show here. We got a little bit more
it's
to go.
Very interesting. And so far, I hadn't been put in the brig, so I guess that's okay.
Well, like I said, you know, they've got a plaque in your face.
Oh, okay, got a plaque already in my space. All right.
Yeah, it's reserved.
So literally, I'm there.
Yeah. But, you know, it's always great to have.
I have been there before. Yeah.
It's always great to have the general on. You know, it's amazing, Tom, when you think about the numbers that she gave. They were down probably about 60% in their attendance, just a rough estimate. But, you know, and the time that they were down, they didn't let their staff go. In fact, they spent more time doing renovations and restorations that they couldn't normally do with the traffic coming through.
But, you know, Cal, saying that they lost 60% of their revenue and for them to still stay open all those days, all their employees still there, still work, they had to – That had to be a very frugal situation there for them to be operating under, and yet they did it. And, you know, they never missed a payroll. You know, that's cool.
Well, and when you consider that they don't get any tax money.
Any help from anybody.
I guess you could say they're self-funded with what comes in with revenue from
ticket sales
and donations.
Right.
And to be able to make it through a period where, you know, so many businesses have gone under and, you know, from what we're hearing, aren't going to be back.
Well, that puts a feather in all of the people's hats that work here, and certainly the management team, and keeping everything afloat, literally on this battleship afloat.
Right. I see what you did there, Tom.
Yeah, okay.
But it really is great, and I'm telling you, the way things look here at the park, and the renovations and restorations that they have done, now is really a great time. As the general mentioned, you know, you have some folks that said, you know, I came here on a field trip, when I was a kid, and you know, I drive by it all the time, and I keep saying I'm going to go. If you came here on a field trip when you were in school, it is an entirely different park to come to you.
I've actually had people in over the last year that have shown me their little cards that had the free pass on it for making their donations when they were a kid.
Oh, that's right.
You know?
That's right. From the quarters and pennies and whatever it was that was collected, I guess.
You know, and John Tyson and some of those veterans became involved in all that and made it all happen. You know, it's just unbelievable.
It was, and it really was a grassroots effort to get it down back here rather than have it scrapped.
They were sick to scrap it, you know.
Right. And, you know, and that is something that we're seeing in a lot of these heroic ships that the municipalities that have them, they don't have the funds to maintain them.
Sure.
And that's just the most...
Well, people in so many areas now are not interested in our history. They're not interested in where we came from, how we got here, and why we are here. And the Lord knows they're trying to overlook the human beings, our vets, that made all of this happen over the years, you know. And that's just so wrong. We're not teaching our kids anymore.
Well, it's very true. And goodness knows, I think that's why the Alabama – and the not only the battleship, but the park in general, is such a fantastic memorial, because as I've said on many occasions, you pretty much can touch pieces of living history, but then you can find out the stories behind them, not only where it was, but even who may have flown it or served on it.
Well, it's like the type of planes that dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And I just had two of my Marine guys from the Marine Corps League die that were in that. Your father was one.
World War II,
Nagasaki like 2 weeks after the bomb dropped and all. And those guys got ate up with radiation and all that stuff. I mean, come on. Yep. It's, you know, now most all of them are gone. How many people have ever even heard of an ABC warrior? What is that?
The biological chemical.
Yeah, atomic biological and chemical warrior. You know,
but you know, so that brings, you know, talking about history and you know, those that have gone before us. We're reaching out, and we appreciate Sean letting us you know, join him here on the battleship.
Oh, yes.
With
awesome.
Part of Midday Mobile. But I stumbled upon, I love books and I love going to thrift stores and estate sales to find unique books. And I stumbled upon one. It happened to be in Gulfport, Mississippi. And I'm a Murphy graduate, so I'm rifling through some books. And I notice a Mohian, which is the name of the Murphy High School yearbook.
Right.
And it's much smaller than the ones we got when I was there. Probably it was a lot cheaper, too.
I know I was there. That was 50. Mine was 56.
Right, yours was carved in stone.
Yeah.
So I know, and it's a yearbook from 1950. I noticed that, so I figured I'd grab it just for the historical sake.
Right,
When I opened it up, looked at it, there was actually an envelope in it. And in that envelope was a graduation invitation, which was in pristine shape, which I thought was kind of cool.
That's cool.
But then there was the little card, the name card, for whoever would have graduated. And there was a black and white photo that was in there.
Mm.
Well, between the name card and then an inscription that had been put on the inside of the yearbook, I was able to figure out that the book would have belonged to a James Delano Rogers.
James Delano?
Right, as in Franklin Delano.
Right.
Roosevelt. Delano,
Rogers.
I guess, that would have been a popular middle name.
Right.
So I thought, you know, well, that's kind of neat. Now so, of course, I flipped through and I found the picture of him in the yearbook. So everything kind of matched up.
Does it look like the picture? Did you say it was maybe when he was a boy and his mama or something?
Well, no, I saw the picture that was in the yearbook, the regular yearbook picture.
Okay.
Now, the black and white photo, it doesn't have any sort of inscription on the back as people, you know, did it at some point.
Right.
But it's a black and white photo, and I think it would have been one that was, he would not have been a senior. He would have been younger. And it was either his mother or maybe an older sister.
Okay.
Again, there's no inscription. But I decided, well, you know, I'd still like to match this thing up. Maybe, you know, find whoever it is.
I would think his family would want it back.
Well, so I type it in to just a search engine. Well, the only thing that comes up is on internment.com or .net, I believe. Well, he is buried in the National Cemetery on Virginia Street.
Come on, man.
And it also turns out he was a Marine.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, he's a Marine,
mm-mm-mm.
And according to the listing, he served with an aircraft unit, aircraft squadron, that would have been in Korea. Now, I can't.
Korean veteran, okay.
Well, yeah, he definitely would have been a Korean era veteran.
Right.
But I don't know if he ever made it over there because it also lists his date of death as July of 51, which means he basically served for about a year based on when he graduated.
You think he was in combat then.
It could have been. I have not been able to find out a lot more. We've reached out to some of our folks who've done some of the digging around
for
trying to find and match up veterans with families. And I'm thinking that he probably didn't have any kids and he probably didn't get married.
Right.
Based
right,
on that
right.
time frame.
Yeah.
So we're probably looking at, nieces, nephews. That
brothers, sisters,
brothers, and you know, you're looking at
they'd be in their 90s.
They'd be in their 90s now. So anyway, again, if anybody out there has any information, James Delano Rogers, it's up on our Facebook page. I think the battleship's going to share it. I think some other folks have already shared it.
Yes.
The pictures are there. The information is there.
Yeah, I saw it on Facebook. Yeah.
So if you have any information, let us know. We just like to reunite this yearbook, the picture, everything, with a member of the family here in the area. But that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hope that you'll join us again later. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!